listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, October the 8th, in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and it is my privilege to go over some of the lessons for the coming week, namely the 21st Sunday after Pentecost on October the 14th in the year of our Lord 2018. But before I do that, I want to ask you this question. Are you a vertical or are you a horizontal? Perhaps if you were listening last Thursday and Friday, you would know what I'm talking about. But this has become a great distinction to understand theology. And I'm really excited about it because the more I think about it, the more I find it everywhere in the Bible. There's two ways of understanding this distinction between vertical or horizontal. The way I was taught at the seminary, which is not a wrong way, is you need to have a vertical relationship with God, that is, faith in the promises of the gospel in regard to Jesus Christ. Only then can you have a proper horizontal relationship with your neighbor. Because until you get the vertical relationship, you are always doing good works out of self-interest. But once you have that vertical relationship, you are doing good works out of love for Jesus. You may not even be aware of it. It's just kind of part and parcel of your new man that you had received at conversion or baptism. So that's the way I was taught it, and it's a proper way. But what I came across in reading is there's another way to talk about the vertical or the horizontal, and it helps us to explain why we are getting an increase in the number of nuns. And I don't mean N-U-N-S, not Roman Catholic nuns, but N-O-N-E-S, people who are leaving the church. They're leaving the church because they no longer have a vertical relationship with God. They just are bored with church. And I can understand that because so many churches, what they try and get you to do is you better be a better person so that God will love you. In fact, tell me a religion outside of Christianity that doesn't teach that. That the way to be saved is by your works. Well, that gets pretty boring, and it really goes against people, what they think about that. So what has replaced the vertical is the horizontal. Freud used to say that people repress their sexuality. But the Bible doesn't say that. That's not what the problem is. It may be with some people, but the real thing they are repressing or trying to get rid of is not their sexuality, but their mortality. They know they're going to die. And so therefore, how do you offset the threat of death? You do so by trying to get for yourself a good reputation. In fact, because we are born sinful, all of us are born like Pharisees. We love to hear bad about other people, but we also love to hear good about ourselves. In other words, the way to offset your mortality is to try and do enough good works so you are justified in the sight of people. This is a huge difference between the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical, you're looking to be justified in the eyes of God. The horizontal, you're looking to be justified in the eyes of people. And therefore, you feel good about yourself. Now, that never works because you're always going to have individuals like Jesus who's going to come and speak the word of God and indicate that your self-justification simply doesn't work. And they're going to be angry with any Christian who speaks that way. I've told you I drive for Uber and Lyft occasionally, and every now and then I'll have someone in the car who is a gay person. And if we get talking about religion and I mention that God opposes the gay lifestyle, they're not happy to hear that. They start arguing with me. They'll say, well, I was born that way, and other such nonsense, as though God gave them this immoral lifestyle. No, we need to understand that the vertical people are going to be persecuted by the horizontal people. Because if there's anything that a horizontal person wants, is they want the ability to be tolerated. They either want individual liberty, you can't tell me what's right or what's wrong, or nothing is as sacred as the self. Those two points of view are for the horizontal. And therefore, a horizontal human being who does not have a vertical relationship with the true God has to earn his value as a person from his work, which means his work, his accomplishments, his job, his relationship carries the burden of justifying him. And in that way, he thinks he is transcending death, qualifying for immortality. Because even when he dies, oh, look at the good reputation he's going to have. Therefore, it's important to keep these two distinctions in mind, the vertical and the horizontal. Because theology is the art of making distinctions. Why do we pastors talk about distinctions? Because it helps to explain portions of the Bible that seem to contradict each other. For example, everybody agrees that Jesus, say, is God. That's what the Bible says. But then Jesus says he doesn't know when the last day is going to take place. Well, what happened to his omniscience? That apparent contradiction is solved by the distinction between his humiliation and his exaltation. It's not that he did not have the attributes of divinity. He did not make use of them. For example, Jesus got tired. He had to sleep. God never sleeps. Jesus got hungry. He had to eat. God doesn't need to eat. All kinds of things happen when he humbled himself and became a human being for the purpose of dying for our salvation. So, I'm going to be talking a lot about the vertical and the horizontal. We may even expand on it on Thursday with Pastor Wes Reimnitz. But at this point, as I look at the Bible lessons set up for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, it is so clear that this distinction between the vertical and horizontal is very, very helpful. The Old Testament lesson, which we're going to look at today, is from Amos chapter 5, verses 6 almost through 15. And Amos was a prophet from God speaking against the sins of Israel. Remember, there were two basic tribes, a division between Israel and Judah. Judah, they were Jerusalem, and they were captured by, put into bondage by the Babylonians. But Amos is speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel and warning them about what is going to be coming against them from the Assyrians. And so he's warning them. This is really important to understand. God never uses his law in order to be capricious and inhumane and putting down people, although it sounds like that. He always uses the law so that they may be ready for his mercy. Verse 6 of Amos. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. Now Bethel was considered one of the blasphemous worship centers in Amos's day. And so you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. What does he mean? You who turn justice to wormwood. Wormwood is a plant with a horrible taste. It represents sorrow. So rather than the people of Israel really taking care, for example, of the poor, they took care of themselves instead. Their horizontal relationship with the poor was out of self-interest. And therefore, as in Jesus' day, they hated anyone who was speaking the word of God. That's verse 10. They hate him who reproves in the gate. That means criticizes them for their evil behavior. And they abhor him who speaks the truth. Remember one of the Beatitudes of Jesus? You'll be blessed because you will be persecuted for my sake. Now, Amos gets into specifics. Because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him. Okay, that's where self-interest trumps God interest. You're exacting taxes of grain from the poor in order to make yourself more wealthy. And what have they done with this unjust economy? Verse 11, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. Why is Amos saying that? Because the Assyrians are going to be coming and taking these people into exile, putting them into bondage. So all of this self-interest on the horizontal level leads them instead to be put into bondage. And so while they're trying to protect themselves from mortality, from death, they're actually increasing the options for their death, for their bondage, for their slavery. Verse 12, Amos continuing. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. The poor have lawsuits in order to protect their rights and to secure justice. But the judges are bribed to vote against the poor. Anytime you're doing bribing, that has to be out of self-interest. So rather than the proper vertical to horizontal, where you trust in God so much, you are able to treat your neighbor properly on the horizontal level, they have removed the vertical. They've taken God out of the picture. They are following false idols. And then they are doing a multitude of sins to increase their own self-interest gains. Therefore, verse 13, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. What's he talking about there? Well, the wise are resigned into silence. because pressing for proper justice not only is futile, it's often dangerous. I mean, we're seeing that today with the Supreme Court justice who now has been voted in. But I was just listening to the radio. Kilmeade is just a fellow on the radio giving the news, and he was followed around in a subway by an angry mob for 45 minutes because he supported Kavanaugh. Now, I'm not saying as a pastor Kavanaugh was right or wrong, but the fact of the matter is there is no doubt that evil is coming against those who feel they were standing up for the truth. And we need to be aware of this, that a lot of people will keep silent. In fact, every now and then you hear of a terrible crime in a big city like New York, etc., and maybe a woman was screaming for help and people were looking out of their apartment windows, and when the police come, guess what? They all say, we never saw anything. We didn't hear anything. Why? Because they're afraid. And there have been occasions when someone was bold enough to accuse the violators, and then they ended up being put to death. So this is really what was happening at the time of Amos. It was an evil time, because people only cared about the horizontal. They didn't care about the vertical at all. Now, even people who attend church can care about the horizontal. If you ask some Christians who attend church, if you die, will you go to heaven? How many times do you hear this answer? Oh, I'm sure I will, because I'm not as bad as other people. There again, you're looking for self-justification rather than the justification that comes from God. I believe this distinction, as I'm explaining it, between the vertical or the horizontal, which, by the way, I borrowed from others who are much wiser than I in bringing it up. And then I saw, boy, look at all the ways you can use this. One of the ways you can use this is to help out the nuns. And I'm not talking about N-U-N-S, I'm talking about N-O-N-E-S, people who have left the church. And we just got to give them some time as they struggle to overcome their fear of mortality and not looking good in the eyes of others by making themselves good reputations, doing good work, and all of this out of self-interest. Soon, it will be shown that this is a failure. I believe that's why the rate of suicide has risen so much, because people have found out they can't offset their mortality. And what I mean by mortality is not just death, but also you have to have a purpose in your life. You have to have meaning in your life. And if you're on the horizontal, you won't find it unless you lie. Like the Pharisees thought they found it, because thank God I'm not like those terrible, sinful tax collectors whom Jesus said when they repented went down to their house justified, while the Pharisees went to hell because they were only self-righteous. They were only looking on the horizontal. Look how good I am to others, how I'm helping them out. So, Amos is saying, verse 14, seek good and not evil. Now, the word good here, it really refers to the will of God. Seek doing the will of God and not the will of Satan. See, there's the difference. The vertical believer seeks the will of God. The horizontal unbeliever does the will of Satan. And when you seek good and not evil, and the good, of course, is trusting in the promises of God, it says, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. And verse 15 really summarizes it well. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate. Now, what does that mean? Well, a lot of times it was the gate of a town where the elders would gather to figure out what they ought to do over a particular situation. And of course, when you're a horizontal individual, you're going to look out, what's in it for me? How many times do you hear that in movies? I was just watching a police show, and they arrested the criminal who was selling dope, marijuana, this kind of thing. And they said, you need to tell us who your supplier was. And he looked at him and said, well, what's in it for me? Self-interest is the way of the horizontal individual because they don't have any vertical. But when you hate evil and love good, that isn't something you've decided. It's something that becomes part of your person. When the Holy Spirit grants you faith in the vertical, you begin to realize how everything you have is from God. And therefore, you want to follow His will. And you establish justice in the gate. And when that occurs, listen to the end of verse 15. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Now, the reason Joseph is mentioned is that refers to Israel, the northern tribes, who are going to be taken, all 10 tribes, into captivity by the Assyrians. There's a lot of discussion among scholars, whatever happened to them. And there's various kinds of thinking. But it is later on that the southern tribes will be captured by the Babylonians, the temple destroyed. And boy, you can understand why people are looking to the Messiah. Now, how can we reach out to those who are horizontal, trying to find their reason for living in their relationship with others and how they are regarded? Remember, they're trying to offset their mortality. What better way to offset their mortality, not by their works, but by absolution from God Himself? Absolution, the forgiveness of sins, is not earned by anyone. God does not absolve people because they finally have reached a level of obedience that now becomes appropriate for absolution. What did that woman caught in adultery? Remember, Jesus says, he who is without sin cast the first stone, and everybody had to walk away because they knew they were all sinners. Go and sin no more, Jesus said to her. He had saved her. Was she worthy of being saved? No. And this is very important to understand, that your vertical relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ came about not because you were worthy of it by your many good works, but because you became worthy in God's sight because of the works of Jesus Christ. And that's why hate evil, and the most important evil to hate is your sins. Another word there that Jesus began his ministry was repent and believe in the gospel. That's how we hate evil, by repentance. Vertical and horizontal, I think it has a lot to say about how we understand theology today. And on the next Long Gospel, we'll have Mark Smith back with us with the hymn, Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower. And we're going to look at that hymn using this distinction between the vertical and horizontal to see if it works with that. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. Tomorrow, Rumination Tuesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.